This is an insightview.eu podcast. In this podcast, InsightView has talked to Caspar Wickman, who is a sinologist with an MA degree in China Studies from the University of Copenhagen. We discuss the situation that the world moved away from a unipolar world with the US as the technology leader, to a bipolar world in which China plays a much larger role, and some would say a dominant role. Also, we discuss where China has technological advantages compared to the United States and Europe and vice versa. In this context, we also touch on 5G and how strong the Chinese tech sector really is. We also talk about whether banning Huawei might be too late. We discuss whether the cross-holdings of patents could make a tech war turn into a big mess.
Why has the United States imposed export bans on tech to Huawei and other Chinese companies? What will be the effect for Chinese as well as US tech companies?
Well, the official reason is that Huawei poses a national security risk to US interest. The bigger picture is, of course, that the US wants to impede China's tech ambitions and the Made in China 2025 plan. So the US government and also Congress, it's bipartisan. So it's not just Trump and his administration, but over a broad spectrum of American politicians that were very worried about what's happening on the tech front in China and how China is racing ahead in techs and the implications of the technological development in China.
Why should US allies ever follow the White House again? First, President Trump demands that they should ban Huawei. Then Mr. Trump is suddenly reversing course on Huawei. Is Huawei a security risk or just a commercial risk?
I think, first of all, I think with US allies and using allies in quotation marks, that nobody really knows where they have President Trump anymore. So nobody really knows where the US is anymore. So I think people are very cautious about what the US is doing. And least of all, China, of course, is very worried, because you never know, like, if he's going to wake up cranky one morning and one tweet, then everything is reversed. And we saw it with his meeting with Kim Jong-un. All of a sudden, it's spontaneous. So I think people are very, very cautious about where they have the US. But that also means that for the European side and the European Union, we will have to make our own line. We cannot be dependent on the US anymore. So whether or not Huawei is a security risk, I mean, has not yet been the smoking gun that everybody is asking for. But of course, when we talk about technology and especially 5G technology and the Internet of Things, you have to be very careful and think about who you give access and who you give access to roll out very critical infrastructure, especially in the future as well.
When it comes to technology, in which areas are China ahead compared to the United States and Europe and vice versa?
I think if we look at Europe and the European Union, China is in many areas worlds ahead when it comes to superconductors, supercomputers, artificial intelligence, and mobile payments as well. Especially AI implementation, they're racing ahead. Whereas if you look at AI research alone, the US is still very, very strong. So the US is still a technological powerhouse, even more so than Europe, of course, because we don't really have that big of a tech industry. We have like lower companies who bid into various supply chains and value chains for American or Chinese companies, but we don't have that big of a tech sector in Europe yet. If you look at China, like value-added manufacturing, they're racing ahead as well. And especially because China has the advantage that it's so politically motivated. I mean, the Communist Party is behind this. They're setting out policies and guidelines for the state apparatus, for private companies. I mean, they're subsidizing the technological development. You don't have that same national strategy in the US, not yet. They're starting to do so. And the European Union is a lot more fragmented than China. So China has a political advantage, and also because they have strong tech giants, but they still have a long way to go, especially when you look at superconductors, chip manufacturing now, especially with the bans that may or may not happen against Huawei and the other Chinese companies. They're still very vulnerable when it comes to that.
How strong is the Chinese tech sector, really?
That's very difficult to say, because you should always be wary about any data you get from China and any information, statistics. I mean, take it with a grain of salt. But there are still areas where China is not, I wouldn't say weak, but less strong than compared to the US. I mean, but you see their aerospace technologies. They put a vehicle on the far side of the moon. NASA has not been able to do so. So you have NASA going to the Chinese, almost begging to get access to the data for research purposes. And For military purposes, we don't really know how strong China is. Maybe we'll see it when we have the 70-year anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China with military parade. But I think they're not going to showcase their military prowess. And I still think they're a long way behind the US because, of course, the US has a different budget when it comes to military expenditures. But China is trying to play catch up. So in many fields, China is trying to play catch up. But if you look at the private sector and also, of course, mobile payments and fintech, educational tech, health tech, China is racing ahead. And they are ahead in many ways of the European Union, but US is still a technological powerhouse. And that's also why you see the trade war turning into a tech war now, because the US is trying to limit China's technological prowess.
Why does it suddenly matter where technology comes from and why now? It feels as if Western media and politicians first discovered the technological rise of China in the last few years.
It would seem so, and these ambitions from the Chinese side are nothing new. I mean, you've heard the State Council talk about this since way back in 2014, but it seems like the European Union and the Americans have not taken China that serious, but you are seeing examples of China really racing ahead. So now they're worried, especially also now that 5G is going to be rolled out. We see the Internet of Things coming, so the connectivities between objects and data being used and intelligent machines and machine-to-machine communication, you will have a lot of critical infrastructure that will be dependent on technology. So you have to be careful about who's supplying that technology. And does the Communist Party in the end have access to this data through Huawei, even though they deny it? We cannot say for sure. I mean, but we also know that the Americans are surveilling us and have access to this data through illegal means. I mean, we saw the example of the NSA, like tapping into Angela Merkel and stuff like that. So, I mean, you would assume that if China is rolling out 5G through Huawei, that the data is there. And if you want to or not, you can get access to that data legally or illegally.
Today, the main issue appears to be 5G. It would maybe be appropriate to sum up why investors, politicians and companies make such a fuss of 5G. What is that 5G offers that we do not have today?
Well, compared to 4G that we're using now with our mobile phones, 5G will allow us to get a lot faster bandwidth, lower latency. So it means when you look at the Internet of Things and internet interconnectivity between like machines like our traffic lights, our self-driving cars, and everything from power plants to our washing machines. So everything in the future will be connected in some way, and which will require data and internet. And 5G is the technology that will put us in there. So you have real-time speed and real-time data analysis and stuff like that. So 5G is extremely important for that. So it's also important to see, are we getting the newest and fastest and best available technology, or are we getting like 2 years apart? Because these things will drive the economy in the future, which is also why politicians and investors are looking towards these new technologies, because they are going to leapfrog us into the next industrial revolution, technology revolution.
On a global level, who are the main suppliers of 5G?
Well, Huawei, of course. I think in 2018 they had a market share of 28%, and then followed by Ericsson and Nokia. You also have Qualcomm and Samsung to a much lesser extent than these three big ones, but Huawei is one of the biggest giants. If you look at how they've raised since the early 90s and where they are today, their strategy has been very, very smart. So they're now actually the world leader when it comes to telecommunications technology and also 5G. And of course, the problem is that they're a Chinese company. And again, all the ties, and maybe not ties, with the Communist Parties, and the founder Ren Zhengfei has his background in the People's Liberation Army in China. So people are a little bit scared about, okay, if we get Huawei to roll out very critical infrastructure that will frame and be the foundation for the future society in the world, what will it mean? I mean, if it comes, I hope not, and I don't think it's realistic, if it comes to war, can China with a push of a button shut down a Western society like in Denmark if it's 5G rolled out by Huawei? And so you need to think about these things.
What is the comparative advantage of Huawei when it comes to 5G?
It is that they have the technological capability to produce the best products in the world when it comes to these, and they have all the patents. If you looked in the end of 2017, Huawei had gotten 74,307 patents worldwide, and just in 2018 they applied and got 5,405 patents through the World Intellectual Property Organization under the UN. So the patents and developing, continuously developing the newest technology is one of the Huawei's strongest advantages when compared to Nokia and Ericsson, of course, also their price points. And I think now Ericsson and Nokia are using, again, in quotation mark, a Chinese way of undercutting Huawei and providing like cheaper prices and undercutting themselves to get an advantage in this market, which is kind of funny if you historically look at Chinese companies who are known for being just cheaper, but Huawei is one of the best. But again, people are worried about the ties to the Communist Party. And of course, you have this tech war now that's very ideologically driven between the US and between China and the EU. European Union is caught in the middle of this. So do we want the newest, maybe best technological advancement when it comes to 5G, or do we want Nokia or Ericsson and then be safe and still be on good terms with the Americans?
Why is it so complicated banning Chinese suppliers of 5G? Here I think about cross-border patents.
I think also when you look at Chinese suppliers of 5G, it is Huawei we're talking about. And one of the advantages of Huawei is if you look at their value chain and supply chain, they hit almost every single thing. I mean, they're in there when you're talking standards in the industry, in the sector of telecommunications. So whether or not you ban them from rolling out 5G, I mean, Ericsson and Nokia has to get the technology somewhere and the product somewhere, and they might be Huawei made, I mean, due to their supply chain as well. Completely ignoring any equipment made by a Chinese manufacturer some way will probably be extremely difficult just because of how brilliantly Huawei has made their business in the world today. So I think it would severely limit 5G rollout if you had to completely ignore any technological equipment made by a Chinese or that has been in contact with a Chinese supplier in some way.
Is a ban on exports to Chinese companies going to hold back Chinese tech development in the long run? And what are the implications for international patent rights?
It will definitely have an impact in the short run because, I mean, we heard Ren Jingfei say that this ban that might not take effect now that Trump has flip-flop on this, that would cost them around $30 billion American dollars in revenue in 2020. And Huawei still doesn't have the capability to produce chipsets themselves. So they need American-produced chipsets to fuel their technology as well. And even though they say and they have a plan on manufacturing their own chipsets, I think they're still a very long way from doing that. But the ban from President Trump has told them very clearly that, okay, we need to follow the Made in China 2025 plan. We need to be self-sufficient and self-reliant when it comes to this technology, because otherwise we're extremely vulnerable. So I think they will prioritize this sector even more so than they did before. And it was a great priority before. And the implication for international patent rights, that depends, because I mean the United Nations and the world systems are not American made, so the US and Trump does not have a monopoly on this. They will of course try to impose their influence on these areas, so you will probably still see Huawei trying to be a part of making international standards as well, and Chinese companies doing so. And I think it's important to do so as well, because otherwise we end up in this tech cold war that a lot of media and people are talking about, and a digital iron curtain where you have Chinese tech on one side and Western US tech on one side, and these systems that doesn't speak together, where you have like a world separated by different tech standards. And maybe you will see Huawei and the Chinese saying, okay, the US, Europe, we can't go in there, so we'll look at Southeast Asia, we'll look at India, Africa, Latin America maybe, and see if we can beat out Western companies there.
What is the European Union's position on 5G? Would banning Huawei delay the introduction of 5G in Europe? And is the only solution that Europe develops its own 5G, and is it possible?
That depends on how you define self-developed and own-developed, because you need chipsets, you need equipment, you need technology that we cannot produce ourselves in Europe. We need it from the Americans, and we might need it from the Chinese. The European Union position on 5G is that extremely important, and the European Union says that they want to pursue global cooperation when it comes to 5G. The Commission wants international cooperations and set global standards for this, so you have units that can talk to each other, so you don't end up with a diversified world when it comes to standards. So you can still talk with American systems or Russian systems or Chinese systems. So they are prioritizing that, but of course also being squeezed when you talk about the rollout of 5G. You have seen American interests saying to nations within the European Union that don't cooperate with Huawei, don't allow Huawei to roll out your 5G, or we will not cooperate you on intelligence services and other areas. So Germany is being squeezed. The United Kingdom is still trying to decide what they want. They might go with Huawei. In Denmark, we chose to ignore Huawei. Whether or not that was a business decision alone, or if there was some influence by the Americans, that remains to be seen, and we probably will never know. But it is a question whether or not it's going to be a setback. I mean, does Nokia and Ericsson have as good as technology as Huawei does? I mean, it doesn't look like it. It really looks like Huawei is the world leader when it comes to this. So now that China is rolling out 5G and they are a 5G nation now, will they have an advantage when it comes to technological development and using technology to better society and gain an economic advancement compared to the European Union?
We already touched on SplinterNet. Is SplinterNet a possible outcome?
Both yes and no. I think it's very realistic that this, let's call it a technological cold war, that people are already using this term, and you have a digital iron curtain where the two systems don't talk together. So you could have a scenario where if I go to China, which I do frequently, that I go with my MacBook, my iPhone, and I cannot use my MacBook and iPhone in China. I would need to buy a Xiaomi or a Huawei telephone to be able for them to speak with the 5G network in China, and vice versa. I mean, Chinese going to Europe or the US, they cannot use their Huawei phones. They would have to buy new phones. And I think it would greatly impede global economy. It would definitely change it very rapidly from what we see today. So that's compared to the traditional Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union and the Western powers. And you have today two nations, the US and China, who are so economically dependent on each other. And you have companies, you have the chip manufacturers who make a lot of money by selling to Huawei. You have Huawei who's dependent on getting these chips from the US, at least today, unless they become so good at making their own chips that they can't ignore it. So that's, let's say that China is successful in realizing the Made in China 2025 plans. They have the best standards for China. They're completely self-reliant. Then you might see China saying, okay, we're going to make our standards. We might export these standards to Africa, to Latin America. And so China will set the standard for 5G and technological development in the rest of the world, where the US might be and the West might be barred from influence. So that will create a whole new world order. So I hope that we can find some solution. It looks like there might be a solution now, but it depends on whether or not China wants to be part of a global system, or if China just wants to have maybe their standard just for China and then say, okay, we can sell our products that can speak with the rest of the world for Africa and still make money about it. But it's difficult to say what the future will bring. But there are some areas for concern, but I choose to be optimistic and say that there will be found a solution one way or another.
Thank you, Kasper Wiegmann, for taking part in this podcast.
My pleasure.